Acts, the 16th chapter and the 20th verse, I'll tell you, Paul, of course, Paul being a missionary, great missionary, had a desire to go and help in Asia. He wanted to go and minister in Asia. Anybody ever want to go somewhere and but you just couldn't? Anybody? Right? So he wanted to go, but he couldn't. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let him go. And so he said, well, let's go to Bithynia. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you can't go there either. So he wanted to go, he couldn't go. He wanted to go somewhere else, couldn't go. And sometimes in life, it seems like every time we put a step forward, we have to take a step back. And that's how it was for Paul. He really wanted to help. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to share the gospel, but it just wasn't working out. And so he sat down and he had a vision. And in that vision, he clearly saw a man, the Bible says, a man of Macedonia, saying, come help us. And so he was able to recognize the place, the person, the calling. And so understanding, assuredly believing, the Bible says, that the Lord had called him to go to Macedonia, he said, let's go to Macedonia. And they jumped up and off they went. That's over in verse number 9 of chapter 16. So they got there, and one of the first things they did is had a church meeting. Now, I believe the number is 10 in order to have a formal synagogue. But Paul found some women that were meeting down by the river, and so he went down there and had church with them. And after that, they said, we want you to hang around. We don't want you to leave. So he had time to have fellowship and discipleship with them. They just love talking about the Bible. I was with a pastor friend of mine Friday night, and I was just supposed to go there and drop my daughter off and leave. But you know how it is. You get inside. Oh, come on in. And so we went inside. And then we visited, talked, and Chloe said, when are we leaving? I said, 7 minutes ago. And since I don't have a time machine, we didn't leave 7 minutes ago. But then, you know, it kept going and kept going. And I just love my friends like you love your friend. We love each other. But the conversation just kept going. And we'd go to another topic and we just kept going. And so finally, we were there an hour. And I said, got to go. And that's how it was here with Paul, with these ladies that were having prayer down by the river. Paul said, well, you know, we're on our way somewhere. And they said, well, just stay. Just sit down a minute and talk. And so they talked, and they'll just stay and eat. Okay, they ate, and then they stayed. And anyway, that's what was going on there. But they immediately had conversions. Immediately, as soon as they got there. Maybe you start a new job, and you think, boy, when I get this new job, nobody knows me, so I'm going to just come in, and I'm going to just be a good Christian the whole time. I used to be. I'm just going to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm going to have a good testimony. Maybe you move to a new neighborhood and you say, nobody knows my past. I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to tell them about Jesus. I don't want them to know who I used to be. Well, you might have conversions. People might get saved. You have a good intention to get there and share Jesus. And that's what Paul was doing. That's all he wanted to do was share Jesus. All he wanted to do was for people to get saved. And so he goes to the river, those ladies, you know, come to Christ, and then he's going along, and there's this woman that just keeps following, and she's bellowing out, these are prophets of the Most High. And she's just being annoying. Now, can you do this without pointing, but do you know anybody that's annoying? And she just kept going. And every time Paul would try to talk, she was, These are ministers of the Most High. That's in verse number 17. Servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What she was saying was true. But the way she was saying it was a distraction. See, sometimes what we're doing is not necessarily wrong, but it's an interference. And that's what she was doing. She was interfering. Be very sensitive when it comes to the gospel. Be very sensitive when it comes to conversations like that. I know people, as I've sat around the table at work and had conversations about Christ or Christian things, there are people who will interrupt the conversation because they don't want to talk about it. They are uncomfortable with the idea of salvation and eternity in God. Now, doesn't make them bad people. It's not so much that they don't care, but my concern is they're interfering with other people who want to hear about it. So these are servants of the Most High God which show us the way of salvation. And Paul turned around and cast the devil out of her because she was being distracting on purpose. And he cast the devil out of her. But here's the thing, that spirit that she had was benefiting the merchants of the area because, whether you want to call it witchcraft or whatever, psychic, her ability was helping the merchants make money. And because now the devil's cast out of her, the merchants say, oh, well, now she doesn't have the power to help us make money. By the way, as we're looking at this election that was just brought up a few minutes ago, follow the money. Follow that. We want to have, we're going to pass these amendments, follow the money. Guys, there's no doubt and no question. People say, well, you shouldn't be political. Killing babies is against God, no matter which side or party you identify with. Killing babies is wrong. And that's, you know, this amendment to our state constitution, that would be a tragic mistake. And then, of course, with all the other ones, follow the money. That's all you got to do, follow the money. I'm against all amendments, just to make it plain. You don't have to have any reason why. I'm just against all of them. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm telling you how I'm voting. I won't go any further. Come to me after church, we'll talk. I'll tell you what. I don't believe government's the answer, but I believe we can have the wrong answer in government. And so my vote is going to matter according to my conscience and my faith. I'm going to vote for what I believe is best for our country. And I hope you will also. But Paul said, I got to get rid of this distraction. He cast the devil out of her. Well, that impacted business. And since it impacted business, the businessman said, you got to go. So they arrested Paul and Silas, and they took them to the magistrates or the sheriff, if you will, and said, these guys are causing trouble. Man, they're preaching stuff that's against our culture and against our customs, and they want us to do things that we shouldn't do. That's verse number 21. And verse 22, the multitude rose up together against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. They stripped Paul and Silas, and they commanded to beat them. They beat them. Why? Because they had prayer meeting at the river? Because they cast a devil out of a woman that had a devil? You see, there, people are not against evil if it's helping their pocket. Look around and see, that's the way it is. We will embrace evil as long as it helps us financially. That's what just happened in Acts chapter 16, and that's a problem. That's not godly. They laid many stripes on him, it says in verse 23, and cast them into prison, charged the jailer to keep him safely. Now hold on just a second. They laid many stripes on them. Somebody give me another word for stripes. Welts, gashes, lashes. Can you just envision their body. Just imagine what their bodies look like. These two preachers who want to help people, who want them to go to heaven, who want them to get their sins washed away. These two preachers come to town and they're not minding their own business. This woman who's minding their business, they've cast the devil out of her. And now they're in trouble. I mean, what a hateful church that wants everybody to go to heaven. What a hateful church that wants everybody to embrace hope, love, and forgiveness. What a hateful church that you want me to have peace in my soul and have my guilt and my sin washed away by something Jesus did on the cross, and I don't have to do it myself. He did it for me if I put my faith in him. How hateful can you be? I mean, you want me to have the best opportunity to have the best life? Is that really what you want from me? How hateful can you be? You don't want me to drown myself in sin that's going to ruin my health and my finances and my mental and my relationships, my mind, my relationships. You don't want me to do all that stuff? How hateful can you be? They beat them for sharing the gospel. They beat them for loving people. They beat them because they cast a devil out of a woman. They beat them because it affected them financially. The love of money. They laid many stripes on them who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Verse 24. The inner prison. The darkest, deepest, foulest, filthiest, smelliest part of the prison. As gravity goes, if the prisoners would be locked in here for 24 hours, not just locked into the prison, but their feet, look, it says they put their feet in stocks. And what does that mean? You imagine those wooden things that have the holes in them, and so they lock your hands and your feet and even your head in it. That's a stock. Now here it says they put Paul and Silas' feet in the stocks, not their hands and their feet and their head, but just their feet. So their feet are locked in, but imagine all these other prisoners in there, maybe just their feet or maybe their hands and their feet, maybe even their head. But the point is they can't get up and go anywhere. So where do you go to the bathroom? Yeah. And if he's in the inner prison, the deepest, darkest part of the prison, how does gravity work? Nasty, huh? And Paul and Silas come into that environment that's filthy with lashes and slashes and bruises and blood on their bodies. And now their feet are fastened into those things. And as much as they may not want to, here they are laying in that filth. Hey guys, if a pastor tells you that as soon as you get saved, everything's going to get better and you won't have any problems, go somewhere else. Because he's lying. Paul and Silas love Jesus. Paul and Silas surrendered their lives to live for God. Paul and Silas were doing God's work. Very intuitive, very connected with the Holy Spirit of God, because he wanted to go preach in Asia and the Holy Ghost said no. He wanted to go preach in Bithynia and the Holy Ghost said no. And so he had a vision from God, said, come to Macedonia. He did what God told him to do in the vision. And now here he is all bloodied and beaten and bruised, laying in filth in the inner prison with his feet locked in. The perfect Christian life. Guys, the truth is, as a Christian, sometimes we suffer. If we're going to do what God would have us do, sometimes it takes us places we don't want to go and that are uncomfortable or awkward and makes us have conversations that are uncomfortable and awkward. That's reality. If we're going to do what God wants us to do by following the Holy Spirit of God. Christian life is not perfect. It's not without trouble. And yet sometimes Christians have trouble and think, well, if God was real, I wouldn't have trouble. Wrong. People look at us and go, well, if you're a Christian, you have trouble too. Then what's God doing for you today? I got news for you. Trouble comes to everybody. The rain falls on the rich and the poor and the ugly and the pretty. How do I know that? Because I saw it fall on you and it fell on me too. You pick which one. Guys, the truth is that Christians have troubles and struggles and heartaches, and Christians get sick too, and Christians die too. Faith doesn't take that away from us, but faith, our relationship with God, ought to show the world that when we're going through it, it's different. Paul's laying there. Silas is laying there. What an awful smell. Did you look at verse 25 yet? Did you cheat? Y'all are cheaters. You know that? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I get it. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe even been baptized. Maybe you're a member of the church. And yet, sometimes it seems like you just have no control over your life. Sometimes it seems like God's not listening and God's not protecting you and God's not paying attention. And how could this happen to somebody who loves God as much as you love God? And how could this happen to somebody that God loves? There's Paul in the middle of the night praising God. I don't know how the prayer started. He prayed and sang praises. They prayed and sang. I don't know how the prayer started. Maybe, Lord, was this in the plan? Lord, did you know this was going to happen when you sent me here? I don't know what the prayer was, but it says he talked to God. That's prayer. And then he sang praises. Hallelujah, praise God. And he started singing. And Silas was singing too. And the Bible says the prisoners heard it. Paul and Silas said, hey, look, we hadn't reached these guys yet. They've been locked up. What an opportunity God has given us to get in here and reach them too. And they start having church. Just two of them. They start having church. Can't dance, right? Because they're Baptist. I mean, because their legs are locked down. Right? And they're praising God. And they're praying. And they're shouting hallelujah. And the prisoners hear it. And I don't know what kind of influence. We think about prisoners. We think they did something wrong, right? I mean, we're innocent till proven guilty kind of culture, but, you know, you got arrested. By the way, don't let that draw your conclusion. You still get to have a trial. But when we think about people being in prison, we generally think, well, they did something wrong or they wouldn't have gotten arrested. Is that what happened with Paul and Silas? But we see all these, we imagine all these other prisoners being around and they hear the singing and they hear the praying. And maybe it takes them back. I'll share this story. I think I have a minute. We had gone to eat dinner at a place with my parents and we met halfway between my house and their house. We got finished eating and I was trying to pay the bill, but I went up there, and it was generally what it is. It's in Yeehaw Junction. Anybody ever been to Yeehaw Junction? So we were in Yeehaw, and I went up to pay the bill. Well, there was a bar there, and so these cowboys were like real cowboys playing the guitar. And they said, you leaving? I said, yeah, I'm leaving. They said, well, why don't you sing a song with us first? And I said, okay. And they said, what do you want to sing? I said, Amazing Grace. And one of them said, I think I know how to play that. And you know those cowboys in that bar in Yeehaw started playing Amazing Grace and singing Amazing Grace and tears coming out of their eyes because it took them back to a place and a time in their lives, maybe where their family was there and things were different. Paul and Silas are singing a praise to God, and there are prisoners in there, and maybe it's taken them back to a place when things were different. It doesn't say they cussed and complained. It just says they heard, which tells us no matter where we are, people are aware of what's going on in our lives, and they're aware of our actions, and we need to behave ourselves. God, and I put a note in here. They continued to pursue their purpose at midnight. And they loved God. No matter their circumstances, no matter what had happened, they love God. And they prayed and sang praises. And then I have another little note I put out here. God smiled. Don't you think he did? I mean, as of all the things that were going on in the world at that moment, God is paying attention to these two men who were serving him, and they're locked in the stocks in the inner prison, and they're praising God. And I just believe that brought such joy to God's heart. God shook the place up, didn't he? It says, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Suddenly, when we pray, we want God to do things suddenly, and sometimes he doesn't. But it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. All those stocks were freed. They were free. Every prisoner in the place was free. And every door was off its hinges. Man, they could have just walked out of there. But it didn't just shake up and wake up those guys. It shook up and woke up the guard. Verse 27, the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. He wasn't mad at the prison guard, the keeper. He didn't say it's us against them. He had one desire, and that was for everybody to get saved, including that guard. Verse 29, he called for a light and he sprang in and he came trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas and he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, the people are hearing our prayer and they're hearing our singing and they're watching our lives and they're watching our reaction, our attitude to being beaten and to being restricted and to being cast into the inner prison and to being falsely accused and falsely charged and mistreated, and they're watching us, and they're going to see our reaction. And what is our reaction? I hate all of y'all. That wasn't their reaction. Their reaction was, I'm going to love Jesus anyway. Their reaction is, I'm praise God anyway. Their reaction was, I could be in the prison. I could still have church. I still have the liberty of my soul. I don't have to be in a church house to have church. I can pray and I can praise God and I still got my friend. But I'm going to look at the best of my circumstances, even in lousy circumstances. I'm going to look for the silver lining. I'm going to find a way to find hope in everything. And the man said, tell me how to get what you got. Sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Well, we've all got troubles in our lives at times. We all struggle. Even after we're saved, still get sick, and still get broke, and still get broken. But we've got to keep on believing in all those circumstances. Because God's watching. Might send an earthquake for you. Shake things up. Make things right. Or maybe he's got to get you to that point so you can reach people that you couldn't otherwise reach. And the prison guard came forward and said, what must I do to be saved? There was no list of deeds and no list of don'ts or do's. It was a simple point of put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? That Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Would you from your heart to God's heart right now say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me and rose the third day. God, forgive my sins and save my soul. In Jesus' name. Would you accept Christ? Would you give your life to God today? I'm not telling you it's going to make your life perfect. I'm not telling you it's going to land you in prison. I'm just telling you that no matter what you go through, God is there with you. He's always just a prayer away. Would you stand? Father, use this time we have together to accomplish your purpose in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity. If she plays, this is your opportunity to come. I'll be happy to pray with you, pray for you. Maybe you've reached a point where you want to put your faith in Jesus. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're already saved, but you want to get baptized. You're ready to start walking with God. It's your opportunity. Anyone else this morning? Hope you'll be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. We'll go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy to dismiss us.